Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors, powered by Markentum.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast. I am Lucas McCurdy, the senior living fan, here with my good buddy Joshua Chris. Hey Josh, how's it going?
Hey buddy, I'm awesome. It's always good to be with you. I'm excited to be with our guest today that you're going to introduce us to in just a minute.
Yes. But
always fun times on Bridge the Gap.
The guest, we are excited to have Gleb Bizaroff here. Gleb, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Hi, guys.
Good to see you, man.
Very good to see you guys.
So, Gleb, very interesting character here. Gleb and I met last year at the NIC conference. And I instantly became fascinated with his story. And so we have the opportunity once again. We're here at Argentum. You can see we are recording our podcast today from the Expo Center, where there is literally hundreds and hundreds of partners and vendors of the industry. And so there's a lot of energy and a lot of buzz. We've had a chance to walk around and meet some people, right?
We've had a chance to meet a lot of people. This is always a great conference to connect with some friends that you've known for a while and meet and greet all the latest cutting edge people, technologies, thought leaders, and then meet new friends like Gleb. So I'm excited to learn more about you, our listeners to be able to hear about what you're doing. So good stuff.
So Gleb, why don't you just introduce our audience to who you are and a little bit about your background?
Yeah, my name is Gleb, and by my accent you can hear I'm not entirely from the United States. So I'm Russian origin, and I spent some 5 years in the States. I was studying and working at a senior housing operator on the East Coast called Northbridge. And after that, as we were looking at Russia from there, we realized that Russia is a country where I'm from,
yes,
has a lot of potential in senior housing. That's a country which is pretty much a blind spot for the modern senior housing options. And so we realized it's a huge potential for expansion, and that's what I've been doing since. So Adorno Companies is that startup that we are pushing in the city of Moscow. We are a developer and operator of several communities now. So it's been a fun adventure so far.
Interesting. So how many communities are up and operational currently?
So we don't have anything in operation now.
Gotcha.
We have one in construction, and we have three sites that we are working on actively for development.
So three sites, and I'm fascinated because I've not spent time over there in your country, and I certainly don't understand how senior housing and programs differ from in the United States. So can you give us a little insight to maybe... You said there's huge opportunities. What in modern day, in your country, what does housing for seniors and what does programming look like? And how does that differ from what we have here in the States?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the one I keep referring to myself. I think Russia has a legacy of public nursing, which has been 100% of beds were public before the Soviet Union collapsed. So, and that public nursing did not have a good, didn't make a good impression on people overall. So this is a place where people would not like to go at all. So that's the whole, that's something that sets the stage. Mm-hmm. And so currently the market has developed in a way that majority of care is provided at home. So the home care is huge. And really the high-quality residential care is really just picking up, is really just starting. So in the city of Moscow, just for your for scaling things, in the city of Moscow, which is a metropolitan area with 20 million people,
wow,
we have a little over 6,000 private beds in senior housing.
Wow.
So just think about that and do the math. And that is a number that has tripled in the last 5 years.
Wow.
So there was 2,000 beds 5 years ago. So that's what we are looking at.
Wow.
It also has a little over 25,000 public units. in the city, and that's it. The rest is home care. So our main competitor is not any type of other senior housing provider. It's more of the home care and our ability to pull people out of their homes and to, communicate to them that this is a better option than just staying home and having a home care provider taking care of them.
Well, it's interesting similarities, actually, to the challenges that the U.S. faces. Maybe that the numbers and ratios are obviously different. Talk to us a little bit about maybe the... You gave us a little bit of a history story about the nursing home environment there and the challenges that that creates on maybe a marketing or PR standpoint, but the opportunity that also gives you guys to develop something new and great that would attract people. Give us a... understanding just culturally, is has Russia typically been, I know this has been home care, but has it been multi-generational living under the same home as the U.S. was traditionally maybe 50, 60, 70 years ago? Or, I mean, is it different?
Yeah, I think that's another great question because what I believe in, the senior housing, the institutionalized senior housing appears wherever there is what we call nuclear family. So the family that is not multi-generational, but just the parents living with their kids until they are grown-ups. And second condition is the high dependency ratio, so really the aged population. So if you look at all majority of countries who have both, who have nuclear family as the dominant family structure, and that aged population, a high dependency ratio, all of them, the majority of them will have well-developed senior housing. Except for Russia. So Russia is, demographics-wise, is very similar to Western Europe, to the United States. It has several generations have lived through nuclear family structure, and it does have an aged population. So we believe it's really the legacy of the, that stigma is, for Russia, is worse than for majority of countries. That's one. And also the ability to pay the pension component is different as well. So that and maybe there was lack of good operators. That's another part of the story for Russia, why that sector has not developed to the levels where that we see in other countries.
So you've got one community under construction.
Yep.
You have multiple communities planned at some stage.
Yep.
Talk us through kind of the physical plant and the amenities. And, I'm just fascinated to know what kind of services. It sounds like you're going to be changing and offering something totally new and changing the culture and how people view aging and going to a community from a very much an institutionalized environment that people don't want to go to a place that they want to live. So how are you doing that?
Yeah, so in many instances, we'll follow generally the idea of assisted living and memory care that exists here in the United States. So in our first building that we are working on actively now, we have basically two wings, two units. One is memory care and one is assisted living traditional with one core that unites the two.
Mm-hmm. How many beds?
Our full capacity is 146 residents.
Okay.
And we have a little over 80 apartments there. So some apartments are doubles with two rooms, two bathrooms, and one shared living space.
Okay.
Such as mini kitchen and living area. So in terms of topology, it's quite similar to licensed AL memory care that you will find here in the United States. We'll have to market it differently, though. So one thing that we are doing, which is different from majority of players here, is we are opening also a daycare center right in the center of Moscow, where there is a lot of traffic and a lot of customer interaction can happen without necessarily pushing our customers to making a choice about their residence, so that they can come to the daycare center, that they can engage in our social programming, they can engage in our health checkups and our dining and all parts of our program without committing themselves to relocation. That's the tough part for any population that is not very well educated about the product. So that part of education for us is very important, because we understand that after people have spent some time with our adult day health program, they will provide that flow to our residents.
So that's fascinating. Smart. So, you know, I assume there's all kinds of unique challenges and opportunities. I'm curious to know how the regulatory environment is different, what kind of opportunities and what kind of challenges that presents for you as compared to here in the U.S., where we're predominantly a state-regulated industry, so the federal government doesn't have a whole lot of influence into the regulatory environment. So when you go from state to state, it can look very different.
Yeah.
What's the regulatory environment like for you?
Yeah, I guess on that angle, the regulation is also substantially decentralized. So we are operating in the city of Moscow, and it has a very particular set of regulations. On another note, I would say that Russia's regulation is absolutely different from here. Our belief is Russia is over-regulated when it comes to construction and the norms for the building to go online, and Russia is under-regulated when it comes to operations. So the operational side, we don't even have to be specifically licensed for memory care. There are currently communities that really mix memory care residents with residents without any cognitive impairment, which is not good for the well-being of both. So on operations, we are very free to at this stage to do what we think is right. On the construction in Moscow, I have to tell you, that's the tough part.
Yeah.
That's the tough part.
So, curious also, you know, it seems like you have an overwhelming opportunity to grow a new kind of senior housing for the residents of your country and really change the culture of senior housing and programming. But is there opportunity for operators that are in the U.S. to bring some of that over to Russia, or is that frowned upon, or do you think they would be welcomed? What is that like?
Well, we believe the time is coming, and we are positioning ourselves as one, because our experience is not just experience of me or my team in Moscow, but it's also the larger experience of the Northridge companies, the operator who is well established on the East Coast. So that's the part of our strategy as well, to really bring that American technology to the market and to not be shy of that and be saying that we are connected to Northridge, that we are using that technology, that we are using a lot of standards and standards of care as well in our communities. We believe the time has come for that. Larger brands of senior housing to come to places like Russia. At the same time, we believe it's really tough for any large player to come abroad without a strong local partner, because there is so much. That's something we've been educating ourselves, and we continue to educate ourselves all the time. There is such a gap between regulations, human perception, the ways you market, you reach your consumer, the messaging, everything throughout your value chain that is different. And at the same time, there is so much that is similar. So you really need that mind who is capable of, you know, making the right call and using experience of other countries, and at the same time, you know, adding that part that is local. So
I think you've got a development background as well, and where my expertise may be more on repositioning an existing community, we still participate in building codes and permitting quite frequently. And given what you said, Gleb, I'm wondering if I'm complaining about something that Gleb would be rejoicing over. So maybe talk to us, and Josh, I'd love to get your opinion on, since you've done more of the ground up from start to finish, Talk to us about those challenges. What are some of the major challenges that you see going on a development standpoint? And maybe talk to us, explain to us why that might be. Is it a good old boy network that it's just tough to break into, or what is it?
It's a number of things.
Okay.
And I can go for long on that one. Of course, we are in that at that stage specifically. And I mean, to give you an instance, as I said, all the nursing infrastructure has historically been public, in public hands.
Okay.
And so it's virtually impossible in the city of Moscow to get a land that is permitted for your purpose, because all that land is in public use. Mm. So each time you get you're trying to acquire a site for your development, you need to change that permit. And the changing permit in the city of Moscow is a process that may take from anywhere from a year to up to 5 years. Really. So it's very tough, because you have to go through public hearings, you have to go through all the procedures, and even after that, you're not sure. So that's one instance, just okay. to get all your permits in place.
So once you have that in place, then walk us through that next stage of getting the building up and out of the ground, and what are those inspections like?
Once you got the final permit to construct, basically you've done a lot of heavy lifting.
Okay.
And then it's really comes down to third-party management. And there is, of course, it's not a secret that construction is that type of activity where some contractors and subcontractors try to make double bottom line on their activity. So it really comes down to managing your contractors and subcontractors, which is quite standard across the globe in a sense. Because
sure.
Russia is just having a little bit of more flavor in the same way as everybody else.
Interesting.
So, Gleb, your company, are you all actively seeking out partnerships with developers, owners, operators in the States to partner with you to do more in Russia? Because I think I heard some of that you guys could be the local boots on the ground, the knowledge, but some partnerships that maybe some experienced operators and developers that already have the technology, that know the systems that work, could come in and help with you guys with the local knowledge to deliver more of this product that you're developing?
Yeah, we would always welcome that. Mm-hmm. And look, Russia is a huge country, and there is no way we with our own principal project can possibly tap into that potential on our own at this stage. So as we are, we have a partner of choice for our Moscow project. It doesn't mean that we are containing ourselves just to that, and we definitely can look for other opportunities. And if you guys want to come to Moscow, you're welcome. You know, we have a World Cup this summer, I think.
That's bridging the gap.
Summer in Moscow sounds much better than winter in Moscow.
Absolutely.
So, Gleb, you obviously have a lot of exposure to the States. Just a quick review of your LinkedIn profile. I believe you have an MBA from Harvard. You also have gone to Johns Hopkins. Maybe talk to us a little bit.
Yale. I mean, I like your schools. That's one thing that definitely is true.
Yeah.
I spend too much time at school.
So you're, 32? It sounds like you've spent your whole life in higher education. I mean, what's driven that?
Hope not the whole life. I hope I did get some practical experience as well.
And has that been a pressure from your family, from your parents, or yourself driven that way? Or
it comes down to my personal story, because as I was in college, I got married and I got twin kids right away. So I kind of, my youth ran away from me. I had to be a very adult, serious man when I was 21. And I guess when kids grew up older, I just had that feeling that I have to, just spend some good time in schools instead of my college, basically. So, I mean, seriously, I think it's very important to, in our days, it's very important for all of us to just keep educating ourselves on something. That's what you guys are doing with this podcast as well. I mean, education doesn't have to be at institutional school environment, but it has to always happen. And that feeling that I have to, you know, go out and seek knowledge has always been with me. So I guess that was part of it. The fun part was another one. So.
That's so true. That is so true. And a big part of what we're trying to do at Bridge the Gap is bring folks like yourself on to broaden the net, bridge the gap, to educate, influence our industry. So this has been enlightening. I could sit here and talk all day about this, but
yeah. We may go grab a beer afterwards and continue the
absolutely.
Conversation.
Absolutely. This is really good. So thanks for coming out.
Yeah. Right. Thank you so much for taking time and being open to continue that. And I think our listeners are definitely going to want to follow you on social. I know that you have a LinkedIn profile. We'll make sure that we put that in the show notes. So if anybody has a question for Gleb or just has some insights and wanting to know more, we'll make sure we put that in the notes. So Gleb, any parting words, anything that you want to add to the conversation?
Guys, our website is adorno.ru.
Okay.
Go check us out. And yeah, really, guys, thank you for having me. It's been an unexpected treat at this event. Thank you, and best of luck to all of you.
Thank you, Gleb.
Thank you, Gleb.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.